Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Auckland Cricket Podcast. We have been away for a while, but we've decided to put ourselves back on the airwaves and catch up with all the cricket that's been going on right around the world, as well as here at home. Well, all the rumours that have been going on here at home anyway. And I'm joined tonight by Neil Wright and PJ Veneman. Good evening, gents.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Right, well, let's start off with the biggest story to hit Auckland cricket in quite some time. And we could be seeing a 48-year-old striding out to bat for the Aces next year. This is the news that that was all over the papers, all over the TV, everything last week. Martin Crowe has decided that he wants to make a comeback and to first-class cricket, not 2020 or one-day stuff, and appears quite serious in his desire to do so. Firstly, does he have a chance?
I don't think so. My reaction was the same as that of Paul Strang when Paul Strang was told the news. Incredulous. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, he was saying that he's heard Pirori's climbed Everest and Mark Richardson's run four marathons and he needed a goal.
Apparently, Pirori's now saying that he fancy a hit as well. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I mean, Martin Crowe was quite right in saying that Auckland cricket will probably stick with trying to bring in young players. Unless Martin Crowe comes back and plays like he did when he was 30, then he's not going to get a look in. Sorry.
Yeah, agreed. I personally don't think he stands a chance either. I don't think he'll even be successful at club cricket, truth be told.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's 48. He hasn't batted seriously in, 15 years or something? And, yeah, I mean, obviously, granted, the standard of bowling will be lower than what he's used to, but still, it's 15 years, and I just can't see him being successful.
Not a big believer in that class is permanent?
Yeah. Not when, I suppose, you're that old and haven't been playing, you know, at a decent level for that long.
You don't think that his two seasons of beach cricket in Australia have stood him in good stead?
Maybe for the 2020 format, but obviously he's not like he can come back to that.
Actually, to be honest, he looked pretty rubbish in that beach cricket as well.
So, I mean, good luck to him, obviously. I mean, you know, we probably all would like to see him succeed, but yeah, I'm pretty sceptical about it, to be honest.
It would be the phenomenal comeback story of all time, though, wouldn't it,
yeah,
if he managed to make a go of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, some players have changed their careers completely, like the likes of Astle, who started out as a number 11 batsman and a bowler, ended up being an opening batsman, and Jeetan Patel, who's been a spin bowler and is probably third choice spin bowler, now looks like he might have a go as a batsman. He's batting quite well these days. So, I mean, if Martin Crowe wants to come back as an off spinner or something, then that might work.
Kyle Mills used to be a wicketkeeper when he was in age group cricket as well.
Oh, right.
So there you go, there's another one.
I suppose, you know, Wilfred Rhodes played test cricket till he was 52, so yeah, Martin Crowe's got 4 years on him.
Mm.
And he's only aiming for first class, so I suppose if that's a precedent that he wants to follow, then yeah, more power to him, really. But at least, at the very least, Cornwall's first home game of the season will have a bumper crowd.
It would be great publicity, I think,
yeah,
for nothing else for apart from that, wouldn't it? Just to see, I think people would be fascinated to see, can he do it? What's he like,
mm-hmm,
after all these years? I think what does count against him, that a few other players who are still involved one way or another have done the odd bit of playing over the years or netting or whatever. I don't really think that Marty's done much,
yeah,
of that. It'd be a lot of hard work for him to get anywhere near it.
Mm. It'd be like watching a train wreck. It's just, it would
so
not
quite
be
enjoyable. Ghoulish, but enjoyable.
It would not be pretty. He doesn't want to come back and embarrass himself.
Mm.
It's very interesting. He admitted himself that it's potentially a bit of a midlife crisis. So, but yeah, by all accounts, he is serious. So we'll wait and see. And close to the time, it's a long way from season at the moment. So things could change in the meantime. But it did get me thinking that, you know, if we're talking about comebacks, who else would it be great to see back in first class and or test cricket? And the first one that I personally sprang to mind, I'll get the ball rolling, was Chris Pringle, because I think we need to bring back the ugly.
How's his weight at the moment? He wasn't the smallest guy, and if he's not been keeping fit,
yeah, we'd just perhaps come off a short run, like about two paces. And the other one I thought was Ewan Chatfield, because I reckon he'd still bowled exactly the same pace as he did back in the 80s. I don't think he would have changed one little bit. In fact, I saw him at the National Club Champs about 2 or 3 years ago, and I don't think he had put on a single kilo. They look exactly the same, so
yeah,
I reckon he'd be just as good.
Another, I suppose, obvious one personally is Damian Martin. Yeah,
the man crush.
Yeah, in order to see that square jaw of his again, just like that one there that's just on the back of my iPod. Yeah, but apart from him, I've got my old bring back Richard de Groen banner, which I've been
right
carrying around for about 10 years now. That'd be fantastic.
Is there any kind of reason to that one, or is it just
Richard
another man crush?
Truth be told, Pub Sport, when they're on the radio, ran a competition, and
yes,
so I thought I'd enter it. And yeah, 10 7 years on, I've still got it. Some might say that's pretty sad. I'd be inclined to agree, actually. But anyway, we digress. Damian Martin, and if we're being serious about it, I wouldn't mind seeing Flynn back in action, to be honest. I think he retired before, you know, like pretty much. Not at his peak, but whilst he still had a fair bit to offer in yours.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that hard, but Stephen Fleming, yeah, he could probably make a go of it. And if we're still struggling for test openers, Mark Richardson, he's obviously fit. He's run 4 marathons. And he wasn't the quickest between the wickets when he was playing for New Zealand. So
can you imagine a Richardson McIntosh opening partnership? That would be electrifying stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So there's one that looks like he's kept in shape and he's still got a bit of zip to him when you watch those Masters games and whatnot, is Dion Nash.
Oh yeah, he was actually playing prem cricket for Grafton this season just gone,
right,
and I saw him playing. He has not lost a lot of his pace. He's a very fit boy.
Yeah.
He plays first grade or whatever it is, AFL,
oh,
for one of the clubs, so he's pretty fit. Yeah, he could easily come back. Although I don't know what his back is like, because that was his problem, wasn't it? His back
indeed.
Problem.
Yeah, apparently Tana Umaga's not bad with a bat in his hands. He could do a Michael Jordan and just, you know, change sports entirely.
Shit, we'd have him. Hey, what about Goldie? What about Jeff Wilson?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Clearly his rugby coaching career isn't going very well. I mean, look at the state of North Harbour. It's a different story. But obviously, as everybody said when he made his comeback the first time, he's got an X factor about him, which we didn't see in that comeback. But, yeah.
It's more a Y factor in the end,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
but,
indeed, yeah.
But
yeah.
You think if you had your time again, or if he had his time again, and if he'd made the decision to play cricket for New Zealand, what could he have done if he'd, you know, because he was only 18 or whatever, wasn't he, when he was caring for those?
Especially with the advent, I suppose, of 2020 later on. Yeah, who knows?
We'll never know. But interesting stuff. Alright, so let's go on to a bit more of what's actually been going on here, there and everywhere. And I guess the big one we have to talk about, although I haven't watched a single game really, is IPL. So you hopefully you boys have been keeping up with it. I believe that Mumbai have just knocked out Kolkata, and my favourite medium trundler, James Franklin, saw them home. 29 not out, I think. And that was an elimination final. You're going to have to correct me at any point if I'm wrong at this stage. And Chennai are in the final, I think. Is that right? And Mumbai go on to play somebody else to meet Chennai?
That sounds like it could be right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I can see this is going to be an exceptionally well-informed IPL update.
Well, they're not showing any games on TV over here, so that's probably part of the reason you haven't watched any.
That'll be true.
Yeah. But other than that, I've got to be honest, I haven't been following at all.
There's a lot of runs being scored, though, because I saw something which had the top 5 run scorers, and they were all above 400, and Gale was above 500, I think.
Yeah, I watched Gilchrist's team, he's Deccan, against Gale's team, and that was fantastic. I mean, Adam Gilchrist, he could make a comeback. He smashed a century off 55 balls, just absolutely went ballistic. And if they hadn't scored more than 200, Gale would have just laughed at it. As it was too much for Gale, and he dipped out after scoring 6, I think. But yeah, I've been following Gale. He's had an absolutely phenomenal run. Even he himself admitted he's never had a run like it, where just consistently, game after game, he'll go out and get 60 to 100 runs off bugger all.
And he's scoring, they had percentages of what these guys were scoring, who were the top scorers, in 4s and 6s and everything else. Enormous percentage. He must be scoring over 80 or 90% of his runs in boundaries.
Well, I think they were about, no, I don't know the exact number, they were about 12 games into the competition. Gale had only been there for 5 matches, and he was wearing the orange cap. He was a top run scorer in the whole competition after 5 games.
When he's on, he's definitely on that, boys. I guess just to touch on that while we're talking about it, the fact that he's playing in the IPL while there's a test series going on at home sort of sparks that old question of IPL seems to take precedence over everything these days, and where should it sit, and where should there be, you know, windows for test matches, etc., etc. Because, you know, that is a bit of a case of a test series between Pakistan and West Indies. Who cares? But if you start doing that, then it only becomes the Australia v India or big clashes that sort of remain important. So what do you guys reckon? Is that going to become standard procedure? IPL just trumps everything?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're looking at creating a window for the IPL so that it's not going to interfere, overlap too much. But as we know, Gale doesn't really care for test cricket. He's a bit of a party guy. You know, he's made for 2020.
And Pollard's there as well, I think, and another one of the big West Indies names as well.
Yeah, Pollard's been pretty disappointing, actually. I thought he was the 2020 player, but, you know, he hasn't had a very good run. from what I've seen.
Actually, just on that note, which I sort of found out about today and will publicise probably closer to the time, but there's a fantastic documentary coming out about the West Indies side of the 70s and 80s that was all Concrete Fire. Fire in Babylon, I think it's called. It's going to be at the film festival in Auckland in July. So
fantastic.
It's meant to be really good, so check it out. But we'll have stuff on the website about it in due course. So anyway, IPL, fascinating stuff. I think we've done that to death as much as we really want to. International series that are going on. West Indies won that first test. Pakistan came back and won the second one. Away from home, isn't it? It's in the West Indies.
In the West Indies,
yeah.
Two test series. Ridiculous. Yeah,
it's not done. A series.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a succession of games.
The worst part about it, I reckon personally, is that, you know, for the first time in a long time, both teams, you know, look like they're reasonably settled, bar one or two exceptions. For example, Gail not there anymore, and Pakistan, I suppose, well, they never really settled, but, you know, they look like they're starting to perform well in Test cricket again. And, yes, so to end the series at 1-1, just a bit of an anticlimax, really. Especially the way that, by the looks of it, Pakistan's spinners have been playing, and even Bishu from the West Indies. You know, great to see some, yeah, spinners performing well again.
Raymond picked up 4, I think, in the second innings, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ajmal got the man of the series.
You sort of wonder why, you know, it's not a timing thing, surely. What else is going on at this point in time that they can't have a third match in that series? Apart from IPL, but it's going right across IPL anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And the other big series, I guess, that's about to commence, England v Sri Lanka. It's a big summer for England, actually, because they've got India coming after that, which is probably now battle of the heavyweights, virtually, in terms of Test cricket. Sri Lanka, without a few big names, no Muralitharan, no Vass, and who's the other one? They've just lost their...
Haven't had Vass for a long time.
No, so he's definitely not there. and Pradeep, I think it was, who got a whole bunch of wickets the other day, is injured as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and new captain, Dilshan's captain now. So
Sangakkara stepped down, hasn't he? And, mm-hmm. Yeah, Dilshan.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
So they got plenty of batting still, but
and they're in form as well. If the tour games are anything to go by, top order's in form.
Could be a good series, then, you reckon?
Could be.
Yeah, should be.
The makeup of the England bowling attack will be pretty interesting, given that now with Stephen Finn having recovered some form and Graham Onion's fit again after missing pretty much all the last season. Yeah, they've got, you know, quite a bit of depth there with the way that Trimlett and Breslin performed in the Ashes.
And Broad's back to fitness, isn't he?
What's the captaincy situation with England? Haven't they got a different captain for every format?
They've split it up, so it's Strauss
and Broad in the One Days.
No, Broad's a 2020, and I think it's Cook in the One Days.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting model, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of what Australia's been doing unofficially, well, almost for a little while, but England's the first one to sort of specifically come out and set it in stone.
But yeah, no, that'll, yeah, that should really be a good series. And Bopara are missing out to Owen Morgan, another interesting one. Morgan, by the sounds of it, you know, playing in the IPL, and then suddenly goes out and scores 193. Looked like he'd been playing first class cricket for the best part of a year, and yeah, strolls into the team. Well, obviously with Collingwood retiring.
Yeah, there looks by the sort of the comments going around, there's a fair bit of bitterness going on about, you know, Bopara, where's the reward for loyalty to England when Morgan's been sort of off doing whatever he likes, seemingly. But I guess talent will out, unfortunately.
Yeah,
exactly. Huge series for Kevin Peterson after a pretty dire year by his standards. Got to step it up. He'll probably save it for India, though, truth be told. Leave it till that.
Yeah, he likes the big stage, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's got to be a little bit disappointed. He said before all those captains were announced that he would like the captaincy back, and he didn't get one. Picked 3 captains, he wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I sort of read stuff about, and he seemed fairly relaxed about it all, and they made comment of it in the reports that I read, that you'd think that he would be uptight about it, but he was more curious as to the decision than put out. But who knows whether that's still simmering away somewhere. I think it would, the man is definitely a bit ego-driven, and that would hurt his ego a wee bit not to be considered one of those.
You've got to have a big ego if you're going to be a successful sportsman, though, don't you? It's one of the things we love about him.
Go part and parcel with a lot of them. Alright, so that will be unfolding over the next few weeks. We've also got to talk about Champions League, because it's looking increasingly like there's going to be a qualifying tournament for the Champions League. So, although the Aces have technically qualified for it, all the rumours are now seem to be coming out, and I think it's going to be quite decided in the next few days, possibly over the weekend, there's a meeting about it, that they will have a qualifying tournament with 4 teams, the New Zealand qualifier, which is the Aces, Sri Lankan, West Indian qualifiers, and a 4th IPL team. And
I think it's a good idea. I don't want to see another New Zealand side go into the Champions League and not win a game.
You reckon?
I don't want to see that.
But it's all just driven by having another IPL team in there. Mm. That all the viewership is driven because people, all of the view figures they've got back say that games involving IPL teams rate way better. So they just want another IPL team in there to drive, get more value for money out of what the viewers. So they're basically just ditching one of the other countries. So potentially you could have, which almost certainly, two of the countries are going to miss out because that IPL team's not guaranteed, but it's more than likely it will qualify.
Mm.
So how many of the Aces boys have IPL contract?
None.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I reckon they'll make a go of it then if they're all available.
Well, that's the problem, they're not, because this has been announced, well, hasn't been announced yet, hasn't been confirmed. All the guys who are playing over in England have got contracts that say, yep, we'll be available for the Champions League, but that was based on the real Champions League, not the qualifying tournament, which will be predated by another week, 10
right,
days,
so
2 weeks.
They're not going to make it to the qualifying tournament.
So, for instance, if they do have it, Guppy won't be available, I don't think, for the first game or two, and considering there's probably only been about 3-4 games or something in it, that's quite significant. So it's pretty difficult. I think it's pretty crap, actually, because it means, in terms of what you know you want to do here, nobody knows whether, if you want to go over and support them, what can you do? You don't even know they're going to qualify for the tournament. They might be out after 3 games, and why go through that knowing that, yes, that the carrot was you qualify for the Champions League and then you just had it pulled out from under your feet, really.
Mm-hmm. I think you compare that a bit to the World Club Championship in football, i.e. for a few years there, the team from Oceania win and didn't win a game, but they got the right group of players, you know, together with the right coaching, whatever, and we ended up officially as the 5th best team in the world. And yeah, so that Aces team, if they were to get through it, if they had the team they had last season here, then yeah, on paper they'd be competitive. So you know, from that point of view, it's a bit of a shame that we have to qualify, and also that the qualifying tournament looks like it's bang in the middle of the Rugby World Cup, so no one's actually going to care over here.
Well, the whole thing's in the middle of the Rugby World Cup, isn't it? So,
oh right, okay.
Yeah, so it is pushing the proverbial uphill. Yeah, I don't know. It does smack of the big boys just sort of taking their toys off and making sure that, because you're then going to have what, 4 IPL teams, you're going to have 2 Australian teams, 2 South African teams, and then if you're lucky maybe 1 outside of those on England teams, I think. Yeah, interesting. But there'll be news coming out about that, as I say, over the next few days. I think there's meant to be a meeting after over the weekend, so watch this space. And that's largely what I've got for this week. You boys got anything you think we should be talking about before we sign off and meet these people again in a few weeks?
Well, I heard a whisper that Kane Williamson had scored 100 in county cricket.
Yeah, he did. Yep, excellent. In fact, if we do a quick update about Aces boys over there, Jimmy Neesham's been crashing a whole bunch of runs playing for, now who is he playing for? He's playing for somebody in sort of in the London leagues, not at county cricket, but the one below. He's already scored 3 tons, I think. Scored 100 in the second innings, and then he's backed it up with another couple of tons. Andre Adams has picked up 5 for in his second game, I think, for he's back at Nottinghamshire. Yes. And Lou Vincent's picked up a contract with, geez, who was that with? He's not actually playing as yet because it's for the one-day season, but he's playing for another side in the meantime. I think Guppy's just getting over there. And there's a few other boys over there. Colin de Grantone's up in Scotland. He's just about to start playing, I think.
Sally's got a contract.
Yep. A few of the other boys, I think, floating around playing here, there and everywhere.
Probably not really worth mentioning Zimbabwe now hosting international cricket again. Aussie A and South Africa A are touring there, but I mean, you know, who cares really? If it was us going there or even Australia's top team going there, then sure. But
who's on the Australia A team? I know Helfenhaus is.
Yeah, they've chosen Jason Crazier and Michael Beer. So Horitz is missed out and Doherty's missed out. Who were, you know, the two leading and going to the World Cup, number 1 and 2 effectively.
Is that why they missed out? Are they having a look at the number 3 and 4 or what?
Possibly. I think Beer, because obviously he played the last Ashes test, and Crazier has probably always been the best wicket taking spinner, well, in the last couple of years, but just erratic. So yeah, maybe while it's an A tour against Zimbabwe, giving them a shot.
They're in quite a state of flux, aren't they? I think about
as far as
who their best
go.
Team is as well.
Yeah,
as far as spinners go, they haven't got a clue.
Yeah, they've got batsmen now coming out of their ears, you know, that'll step into it. What's his face? That young Marsh.
Sean? Younger one.
Mitchell. I think he's gone over there. They said with an eye to, with him as a test player in the future, so to get him into that sort of environment and stuff, so not sure if he's actually playing. I suppose, yeah, so nah.
No, nothing about Australia at all. Okay, that was Zimbabwe. Right. Well, that's fine. We will catch up again in a few weeks, probably catch up with the end of the IPL, what's happening over in that England series, which will be very interesting watching and catching up with that. And that might be in 2, 3, or possibly even more weeks' time.
Yeah, we'll be following Martin Crowe's progress on Twitter.
We might have sort of fitness updates of him from the gym, perhaps, or something like that. Be fascinating stuff.
One thing actually probably should mention, the death of Terry Jenner.
Yes.
Yeah, given that he basically, you know, made the, well, helped form the greatest spinner that's ever going to live, certainly in our lifetime. 66 years old, not old.
Deepak Patel.
Oh dear. Yeah. Yeah, so no, that's a, you know, bit of a shame, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
great man, and he had a lasting legacy with Warnie. Yeah, big tribute's been flying left, right and centre for him.
Yeah, speaking of Warnie, he's retired again. Probably should have mentioned that.
We should, actually. Yeah. Well, this... Well, it won't be the last we see him, of course, because he'll be doing, I don't know, his own, he's tried a chat show and that was an abysmal failure, but
apparently
I'm sure he'll be
designing,
on telly.
Apparently he's designing children's underwear now.
What?
That is wrong in so, so many ways.
Yeah, well, he's qualified it by saying that his daughter's helping him, but...
That doesn't make it anywhere at all.
It's just what I read.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do, but yeah. No matter what he's like with a cell phone in hand and everything else that goes with him, you can't argue with the man's ability on a cricket field. You think he was outstanding. And unlike certain other spinners who have a large number of wickets to their name, he has no question marks over his action and etc. to go with it. So
let's say he doesn't throw the ball. There we go.
So, yeah. See you, Warnie. I'm sure we'll see you very, very soon. And that's it. As I say, we will see you in a few weeks' time when we come back with more fascinating tidbits, gossip, and what's happening in the cricketing world. Until then, take care, and we'll see you soon.